It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary, hosted by this dude right here, Spencer. Okay, we got a lot of words and definitions to get through, so let's get into it. The first word is finny, F-I-N-N-Y. Adjective from 1590. Number one, provided with or characterized by fins. The fins on the fishes. That fish is so finny. It's got 38 fins. Number two, relating to or being fish. Or related to fish or being fish? I feel like, are we missing a word here? To being a fish? Fishy, finny, maybe it's all the same thing. I'm feeling so finny today. Okay, let's see. I think my sound effect, ooh, it's timely. It's related to our last word in this episode. It's the word, well, so the last word's fire. Timely, because I'm recording this on January 15th. And the fires in California are still raging. I don't know, like, the exact update. I think some has been contained. Some have been started still. The destruction is catastrophic. I mean, there's no other word to use. So I guess we'll talk more about fire at the end of this episode. But that's the sound effect. Had to say that. And now we are moving into the word fino. F-I-N-O. Noun from 1846. This is a very dry Spanish sherry. Ooh, it's, fino made me think of wine, wino, I don't know, something like that. That's a weird connection. But it's an alcohol, a Spanish sherry, and it's very dry. It's not a cherry sherry, it's a sherry that makes, maybe it has a dry finish, to pull back a word from the previous episode. This is a Spanish word from fino, which means fine, from fin, which means end. So, interesting. Is it like, I wonder why this got the name fino? Is it, I mean, first of all, it could be very fine, of very high quality. That's the one that makes the most sense. But I wonder if there's something else. Is the word end related to this in some way? I don't think I've ever had a fino. I shall try one. Now we have, this is a very interesting word, Finocchio. It's just like Pinocchio, but with an F instead of a P. I wonder if this is related. Finocchio. Noun from 1941. I think the Pinocchio story was a lot earlier than that. But the synonym here is Florence Fennel. I don't think that's somebody's name. I assume it's just a kind of fennel. A Florence Fennel named Finocchio. Interesting. This is an Italian word. Sure seems like it. From Vulgar Latin, fenuculum. And there's more at the word fennel. So did it come from the word fennel and became Finocchio? This is interesting. Very interesting. And I wish that it were related to Pinocchio in some way, but I don't think so. But now I'm curious, like, because they're so similar, is there a connection in Italian between Finocchio and Pinocchio? If you're Italian and you know something about these, please let me know. Now we have fin whale. Fin whale, noun from 1885. It's probably just like fin fish. Didn't we have fin fish? Yes, we did. It's the types of fish that have fins. So is this a type of whale that has fins? Do they not all have fins? What is this? It is a baleen whale that may attain a length of over 70 feet, which is 21 meters, and is found chiefly in subtropical to Arctic and Antarctic waters worldwide. It is called also finback, so maybe they have a fin on their back, and that is a very clever name, he says sarcastically. It's a baleen whale. The species name is Balaenoptera. Balaenoptera. Don't know exactly how to say that. That's the first word. The second word is Physalus, with a P-H-Y. Physalus. Physalus. I don't know. 70 feet, that's pretty long. I don't know how they compare to blue whales, which are the biggest ones. But 70 feet seems pretty big. Pretty big. Seems pretty big. Okay, so they're in the, looks like the south or the north of the waters. The subtropic to the Arctic, which that would be in the north, or the subtropic to the Antarctic, that would be on the bottom. Bottom of the planet. The bottom of the world. Okay, that's fin whale. Let's post a picture on social media of a fin whale, a fin back. Now we have FIO, all caps, abbreviation for free in and out. And I don't know, are we going to see that phrase in here? That would be kind of weird. Free in and out. We got to go way, we got to go far to the free section. So many pages. Free in and out. It doesn't seem like the type of thing that would be in here. Oh, there's free jazz. No, I don't see it. So what does free in and out mean? Is this a phrase that I should know? FIO, free in and out. You can just, as you please, you are free to go in and out of this building. I don't know. Okay. Now we have fjord, F-I-O-R-D. It's a variation of fjord with a J instead of an I, which I think is the more proper spelling. And then because people were like, well, it's pronounced fjord, we'll throw an I in there. I think in that part of the world, the J's are kind of like an I sound, maybe? I don't know. Don't quote me on that. Okay, fjord. Next we have fioritura. Yes, but you have to say it more Italian. Fioritura. F-I-O-R-I-T-U-R-A. Noun from 1836. The synonym is the fifth definition for the word ornament. So I assume this is some sort of ornamental decorative kind of thing. A fioritura. But maybe the etymology will tell us a little bit more. This is Italian. It literally means flowering. From fiorito, which is from the verb fiorire, which means to flower. There's more at the word flourish. Blue, flourish. So, fioritura. I assume it's some sort of flowery decorative ornament kind of thing. I guess. I'm just guessing. Okay, here we go. We have fipple flute. Two words. Yes, fipple flute. Fipple is F-I-P-P-L-E. Noun from 1911. This is any of a group of wind instruments like the flageolet and the recorder that they're having a straight tubular shape, a whistle mouthpiece, and finger holes. Those are the fipple flutes. I had never heard of these described as fipple flutes before. The origin is unknown. So what happened when somebody was like, these types of flutes, we're going to call, we need a name for this whole family of these flutes and recorder things. And somebody said fipple. Why fipple? Fipple? Okay, interesting name. Okay, so like I'm thinking back to my elementary school days, recorders, playing a recorder. All of this makes very sense. It has a straight body. It's like a tube. It doesn't flare out really on one end. I mean, maybe at the bottom it flares out a little bit, but the body is a straight tube. The whistle mouthpiece. So the mouthpiece is like a whistle. The whistle, when you blow into it, it makes the sound. That's not what I was trying to say. It has a hole. There's a hole in the whistle to allow the sound to come out and to have it work like a whistle. If there was no hole, it wouldn't be a whistle. It would just be a thing that you're trying to blow air into. So it's the same design at the top of these fipple flutes. There's a hole. I'm remembering at the top of the recorder, there's a hole to let the air go through. Some sort of cool physics thing happening there with acoustics and sound and stuff. And so I thought I had something else to say about the whistle mouthpiece. But then, you know, you put this tubular body on it, and that's going to change the length of it, is going to make it a lower pitch. Smaller recorder is going to have a higher pitch. Bigger recorder is going to have a lower pitch. And then the holes, we talked about this with the word finger hole a few episodes ago. There's no keys on these recorders. They're just holes. You got to make your finger fill the hole totally so you can play different pitches. So they are fipple flutes. Fascinating. Wow. Now we have fir, F-I-R, not F-U-R, noun from before the 12th century. Number one, any of a genus of north temperate evergreen trees of the pine family that have flattish leaves, circular leaf scars, I don't know what those are, and erect female cones, and are valued for their wood. Also, any of various conifers, like the Douglas fir, of other genera. Okay, so the Douglas fir is another kind. It's still a fir. The genus name for these is Abies? Abies? A-B-I-E-S. Not sure how to pronounce it. They have flattish leaves. I don't know. I mean, I imagine a fir tree having the little spiky things. But this is saying it has flattish leaves. And I don't know what circular leaf scars are. This is very interesting to me. And the erect female cones. I didn't know that. Are there male cones and female cones? Why are they erect? What makes them erect? That must be some sort of plant term. Interesting. Number two, for fir is the wood of a fir. You call it fir wood. Why do people like this? Wood, I'm not a wood expert. It must be a very nice wood. It will bring you presents. Where does this word come from? It comes from Old English, fir, F-Y-R-H, akin to the Old High German forha, which means fir, and then also from the Latin quercus, which means oak. But is an oak tree a fir tree? I don't think so. I think firs are conifers, and oak is deciduous? Do I have my right words here? Okay, that was very interesting. In the show Twin Peaks, this is a big part of our lives, this TV show. There's a lot of talk about the trees. In fact, I believe Douglas fir is mentioned in that first episode. Cooper says, "What are these wonderful trees you have out here?" And the sheriff says, "Douglas fir." I hope I have that correct. Pretty sure I do. Apologies if I got that wrong. Okay, so yes, the trees, the forests, they play a big part in that show. The fir trees. Okay, now we have the last word, which is, we have two forms. The first form of the word fire, F-I-R-E. I would have loved to have a fire expert on this episode, but we did not make that happen. We, as in me, myself, and I. This is a noun from before the 12th century. Number one, A1. Oh, I will say, though, Because these episodes were re-aired on the podcast Ologies, I will shout them out here. Two episodes that they did a couple of years ago about fires and fire ecology and indigenous fire ecology and, ooh, it's very fascinating stuff. Definitely worth a listen. So they combined those two episodes into one encore episode. And so it's probably like, God, it's probably 3 hours long or two to three hours, I'm guessing. A lot of good stuff in there, though. Okay, so fire. What's fire? 1A1, the phenomenon of combustion manifested in light, flame, and heat. What a fascinating way to word that. It is the phenomenon, combustion of burning something is being manifested in a physical way of light, flame, and heat. So light, it emits light, which is kind of amazing. It creates its own light. There are flames, usually. That is usually what we think of as fire, the flame part. And heat. Oh, it is so hot. It's hot because the combustion, you need something. I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about this type of science to really give good explanations, but ooh, it's a fascinating thing, the idea of fire combusting something, turning it into this fire. It's very interesting. I don't know what else to say. It's a phenomenon, and it's very fascinating. And, I don't know. Well, I'm curious to see what else we have to learn about fire. 1A2, one of the four elements of the alchemists. Yes, I think that they were like, it's earth, air, fire, and water. And they were like, these are the four things that make up the world, the universe, whatever they thought it was. And there's a very cool image that I was really thinking about getting this as a tattoo, and I haven't done it. Maybe I won't. Maybe I will. But anyway, it's an ambigram where if you flip it upside down, it looks like the same thing. And I think this one even, maybe there was some other level to it, but it was those words, earth, air, fire, water, in like a diamond shape. And it was just a very cool design, and I quite liked it. To me, it just sort of meant like science and where we've come from and some spirituality, and it was very cool. Okay, so now we are moving on to 1B1, which is burning passion, and the synonym is ardor, A-R-D-O-R. I got a burning passion for reading words. I got a fire for words. Is that how you would use this in this one? Okay, maybe. Number 1B2, liveliness of imagination. The synonym is inspiration. Ooh, like if you get inspired by something, creatively say, you got a fire burning in your brain, in your mind, in your body, in your soul to create that thing. It's like a fire has lit under your butt to get you going when you get inspired by something. That's a good feeling. 2A, fuel, in a state of combustion as on a hearth. Fuel in a state of combustion. So, how is that different than the first one? The fuel, the wood, the gas, the oxygen, whatever it is, the fuel, the thing that is making this fire happen, when it turns into fire, it's fire. I don't know how to re-describe that one. 2B, this one's British. A small gas or electric space heater. So I guess they, over there in the Britainland, they are like, turn on the fire. It's cold in here. We need some heat. It's actually very warm in here. I'm going to go turn on a fan. The fan is now getting the air moving, so hopefully that'll cool things down a little bit. Okay, so yeah, they're like, we got to go turn on the fire because it's cold in here. And they all know that it's a little space heater. Okay. Now we have 3A, a destructive burning as of a building. So how to think about this one? A destructive burning. So when the building is on fire, that's a fire? I feel like there's something else, though. Yes, it's on fire. The building is on fire. That's a destructive burning. I don't know. Well, 3B1 is death or torture by fire. Let's torture this person with fire. Some of these, they're like, they seem so specific, but are they? I don't know. I'm having a hard time with some of these. Like, there's no example sentences, so I can't put them into context to fully understand. Like, these definitions are not helpful when I can't put them into context or when they don't give me the context. 3B2, severe trial or ordeal. Well, I've heard trial by fire, so I guess that's just a severe trial. So that's not necessarily a trial with a judge and jury. This is like a trial by fire is like you're just thrown into the situation and you just got to figure it out. You're thrown into the fire. Severe trial or ordeal. That's a big ordeal. Number 4, synonyms are brilliancy and luminosity. As in the example, we got one, the fire of a gem. The gem is very brilliant. It has a lot of luminosity. It sparkles. Sparkles! And so they say that the gem has fire. Ooh, look at that fire. The fire in that gem. It's so brilliant. Number 5A, the firing of a weapon, or just of weapons. And examples of those are firearms, artillery, or missiles. It's an interesting word, firearms, which I assume we'll see probably, yeah, in the next episode. It's like you've got fire on your arm when you're holding this firearm. Ooh, my arms shoot fire things. Number 5B, intense verbal attack or criticism. Why is that 5B? 5A is the firing of a weapon, that was 5A, but 5B is intense verbal attack or criticism. You're coming at me with all this fire. You're like, you're too tall. That's some fire. It seems weird that those are sub-definitions of the same thing. We got another one, though, 5C, a rapidly delivered series as of remarks. Just a whole bunch of words flying at you. Ooh, those words are coming at me like fire. This word went places. It evolved. Okay, fireless. That is an adjective. I sure wish California were fireless right now. Although, you know, there's, as you will listen in the Ologies podcast, there are good fires. There is a reason that fire exists. We need it to some level, and boy, we really have screwed things up by trying to stop fires. We should have let the indigenous people of the lands steward the fires like they used to. We'd be in a much better situation if that had happened. Okay, a couple phrases on fire. Number 1, being consumed by fire. I'm on fire. The fire is consuming me. It is using my skin and bones and muscle as fuel. So I am on fire. I am being consumed by fire. The synonym is aflame. The one word, aflame. I think in the movie Backdraft, is that what I think it was? They talk about how fire is alive and, you know, not in the sense of how we are, maybe have some sort of soul. We are living, we have consciousness, but it is alive in the sense that it is consuming things to live. We have to eat and drink water to live. And it will just keep on doing that. As long as it's consuming something, it will keep on doing that. And it changes and it grows and it breathes. And it is a very fascinating thing. I think we're all fascinated, at least when we're young, fascinated by fire. Some people take that fascination a little too far, and they become an arsonist, and they just want to set fire to everything. And that is a problem. Okay, back to on fire. Number two, the synonyms are eager and burning. Eager and burning. Ooh, like I'm so eager to record the next episode. I'm on fire to do this thing. I'm ready to go. That fire is under my butt. I've got that inspiration. Ooh, I feel like I'm on fire. We also have under fire. Number one, exposed to fire from an enemy's weapon. Yep, we're under fire. The fire is flying at us, and we want to get under it so we don't get burned. Number two, under attack. I'm not sure how that's different than the first one. Pretty similar. Okay, so let's quickly look at the etymology. It's from Old English, fire with a Y, F-Y-R, akin to the Old High German Feuer, which means fire, from Greek pyre, P-Y-R. Doesn't say what that means, but I assume it means fire. And that's interesting that, you know, we have these funeral pyres where they burn people. And so I think that is, it's like, it's just the pyre is the fire. The fire, the pyre became the thing where you set the fire, and it's the same word. Okay, anything else about that? No, I think fire just came from fire, at least in English. We're talking about English here. We have, well, I guess because we're talking about the noun here, what's my personal experience with fire? Just like young people, I was fascinated by fire, and, you know, if there's a campfire, I would sit and stare at it, and, it's an interesting thing. I did not get into arsonry. Unfortunately, that was not the way my life went. No, I was not destined to burn things. I'm not sure if I could start a campfire. I could try, but I don't think I would need, you know, matches and things. We did have a fire in our garage. This was, I think, in the year 2000, maybe. And we were woken up in the middle of the night. I was still living at home, and woken up by probably my dad saying, the garage is on fire, and the fire people are here. I think they waited to wake me up for some reason. I don't know if that was conscious. And, you know, in the middle of the night, we had to stand there and essentially watch our garage burn down, filled with tons and tons of memories, things that we had created, two cars, you know, bikes and tools and, like, art that we had created. All of my childhood stuffed animals were in there, which we still had. I saw the fire people, the fire department, just sort of not doing a lot. And I got very frustrated, and I'm sure that they were not doing anything for a reason. It was very frustrating. I think what we had found out was that in previous days, there were, like, some kids who were setting garbage cans on fire in the alleys nearby, and so they, I guess, set our garbage can on fire. But in our case, the garbage can was right next to the garage, and it got the corner of it, and it caused a lot of damage. I think that there was something about they could see, like, on the opposite side of the garage, that there was, like, a line of where, like, the smoke had hit, and they were like, if it had reached a little further down, the whole thing would have gone up. But just from, like, that corner of it. The damage was so bad that, of course, just about everything was destroyed. And, of course, we had to get new cars. And I think they built a new garage in, like, a week. Tore the old one down, got a new one. That was a tough thing. Thank God, it was the garage and it was detached from the house. And so there was nobody there and everybody was safe and sound and we just lost physical things and not human life. But, it still sucks. Still really sucks. What else about that? I'm trying to think if there were any other memories of this fire. Not as bad as a house fire, but still pretty bad. Did we ever have any other fires? I can't think of anything. Okay, well, I've talked enough about that. Let's move on to our last word. It's the second form of fire. Wow, I just threw my mouse wrist pad on the floor. I'll get you later. You just stay there. Okay, this fire is the verb from the 13th century, starting with transitive. Number 1a, to set on fire. The synonym is kindle. Also, the synonym ignite, as in fire a rocket engine. Set it on fire. Ignite that rocket so it shoots up into the air, and we will watch it. And then what does it do? It doesn't do anything. We just watch it fall back to Earth. Number 1b, one. To give life or spirit to, the synonym is inspire. Ooh, I wonder if inspire is related to fire because they rhyme. Inspire. You know, pyre, we saw that's from the Greek, and so there could be a connection there. Yeah, it's like lighting a fire under someone else's butt, metaphorically speaking, don't do that literally, to inspire them. The example is the description fired his imagination. The description, that's kind of a weird thing. Okay, the description fired his imagination. He's got his imagination all ready to go and do some stuff. Imaginate. 1B2, to fill with passion or enthusiasm, and this is often used with the word up. Fire up. The coach, Ted Lasso, has got to fire up his sports players. 1C, to light up as if by fire. Not literally fire, just something like fire. 1D, to cause to start operating. And this is usually used with the word up, as in fired up the engine. To cause to start operating. The engine was not operating before, but then when they fired it up, then it got going. Fire up that stuff. I fired up this podcast in 2019, and it will never end. I will never fire it down. Number 2A, to drive out or away by or as if by fire. To drive out by fire, basically, that's the simpler way to say that. So you are firing like that guy fired the snakes out of Ireland? You're doing it by... I have not heard this used in this way. 2B, to dismiss from a position. I wish somebody could say to Trump, you are fired. We are dismissing you from this position. We kind of did, but then we undid that. Meh. Number 3A1, to cause to explode. The synonym is detonate. Cause to explode. Yeah, it's like a bomb. You're detonating a bomb. 3A2, to propel from or as if from a gun. The synonyms are discharge and launch, as in fire a rocket. So how is this different from the other rocket one we had? Where was that? Where was that in the other one? But yeah, you're causing it to ignite, to go. This is propelling. Yeah. fire a rocket. I don't know. I don't feel like I have a lot to say about most of these other than sometimes confusion. 3A3, I think that's where we're at. This is the 1B definition for the word shoot, as in fire a gun, shoot a gun. Yeah, make that gun have fire. Number 3A4, to score in a game or contest, and the thing that you are scoring is a number. To score a number in a game or contest? What does that mean? Fire a point? Fire a basket? I mean, I've heard they're on fire. They're doing great. They're making all those baskets. But fire, I don't know. 3B, to throw with speed or force, as in fired the ball to first base. He threw it so hard and fast, it's as if it was a gun. It's as if there were flames coming off of the ball because he threw it so fast. There's another example. Fire a left jab. If it was a slow left jab, I don't think they would say fire, but it's got to be fast and quick and impactful. 3C, to utter with force and rapidity. And so I guess maybe that's the about the talking fast, talking a lot. Fire. I'm trying to not be so fiery with my words. I'm trying to slow down a bit. But sometimes a lot of words come out. Number 4, to apply fire or fuel to, as for A, to process by applying heat. And the example there is fire pottery. When you make pottery, you know, it's this soft clay. You put it in the kiln to fire it, to expose it to this heat, and so it becomes hard. It's not going to drip or fall apart. Okay, now we have 4B, to feed or serve the fire of. To feed the fire of or to serve the fire of, as in fire a boiler. To fire a boiler. Oh, is this like the water heater in your house? You are feeding it some fire so it can heat the water. Okay, those were all transitive. Now we have intransitive. Number 1A, to take fire. The synonym is kindle and ignite. So this is the rocket is firing because it's receiving the fire, the ignition. 1B, to begin operation, the synonym is start, as in the engine fired. The engine fired because it started by somebody else. Somebody else did the transitive, and this is doing the intransitive. 1C, to operate especially as the result of the application of an electrical impulse, as in the spark plug fires. Now, how would that one be different than the previous one? Starting, to begin operation, is this, I guess I don't know. Maybe the difference is when you start an engine, you fire an engine. Once it's fired and started, it's just going. But the spark plug, I don't know enough about spark plugs, but I guess maybe it's it fires, but it's a temporary thing. It's not like this, you start the spark plug and then it's running. I don't think they work that way. So it was to operate especially as a result of the application of an electrical impulse. You put the electrical impulse into the spark plug and it fires, and then you got to do it again later. Number 2A, to become irritated or angry, as in, oh, this is often used with the word up. Oh, I'm getting fired up because I'm so excited or angry. Irritated, that's what the word, irritated or angry. Ooh, I'm just so fired up. When those people said I couldn't walk down the street, I got fired up. 2B, to become filled with excitement, here's excitement, or enthusiasm. So you could be fired up in a positive, happy way, or you could be fired up in a not so happy way. in a frustrated, irritated, angry way. I'm so fired up. Which one? That's for you to figure out. Number 3A, to discharge a firearm. To discharge a firearm, as in fire at close range. But if you are doing the action, then wouldn't that be transitive? I'm discharging a firearm, so I'm firing it. I don't know, whatever. Number 3B, to emit or let fly an object. To emit, yeah, I guess it's a weird way to word it, but I see why they did it. To emit an object or to let an object fly. What sort of object are we talking about? Firing that object. Number 4, to tend a fire. So maybe you're setting a fire in the fireplace because it's wintertime and you would like to be warm instead of cold. And so you are firing. I don't use this as a verb. Number 5, to transmit a nerve impulse, as in the rate at which a neuron fires. I wonder how. I mean, we just started using this word for something that's just getting going, excited in some way. Fireable is an adjective, and firer, that is a noun. The one who is doing the action of all these firing things, the firer. Okay, anything else about, yeah, I don't know, I got nothing fancy to say about fire. I don't want anybody to fire me from this job. You can't, because it's my own job. I am my own boss. I can fire myself, maybe. Okay, let's pick a word of the episode. Today we had Finny, Fino, Finocchio, Finwhale, F-I-O, Fjord, Fioritura, Fippleflute, Fur, Fire, and Fire. Oh, yeah. Fire is a big one. Fire is one of those elements, one of those things that, you know, there's some level of truth to everything is made up or our world is made up of earth, air, fire, water, to a degree. Those are these, like, fundamental elements, in quotes, elements. And so it's a fascinating thing, and it's a naturally occurring thing that we have learned to control, kind of. And I think that we need more of these good burns, good fires, where we are taking control and burning the forests and the things as they need to be to make everything better. Because otherwise, there's just way too much fuel on the ground, and climate change has obviously made this a whole lot worse. The fires that we do get are much worse, and this is just ridiculous. And I hate the fact that people are having to deal with this in a lot of parts of the world. Yeah, okay. But am I going to pick fire as the word of the episode? I don't know. I kind of just want to pick Fippleflute because it's a funny phrase to say. I'm playing my Fippleflute. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Fippleflute. All right. On that note, let's now talk about another movie. Ooh, we watched Don't Move. This is a horror movie. Thrillery, suspenseful horror movie. Co-written by someone I know. He used to be a client of ours here at my job. But he was also screenwriting on the side, and him and his writing partner, I know that they've had at least probably two or three movies made now, it's a tough watch. I don't want to say anything. I think it's on Netflix, and it's worth a watch, so you should go watch Don't Move. Okay, that's it for this episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer firing off a lot of words and dispensing information. Goodbye.